morning, church. Did everyone get a copy of the outline? If you need a copy of the outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get that for you. Okay. Will you? Again, here they come. Thank you. I have to begin this message today by giving you some of my background. I grew up on a farm in Clyde, North Carolina. We heated our home in the winter with wood in a wood stove. We also cooked on our home comfort stove. And during one of the storms, a big oak tree fell over in my daddy's woods, and we went over and cut that tree up on Saturday and sawed it up for wood to be used during the winter. At the end of that day, I was a young boy, probably 10 years old, and I felt God calling me to go over to those woods and stand on that stump where that tree had been and preach to the trees. I pretended that the smaller trees were children. And I said, "Children, God's word says to you, obey your parents." And I preached to the children. I pretended that the middle-sized trees were mothers, and I said, "In God's word, say to you, mothers." I preached to the mothers, and then I preached to the dad, to the big trees. And I said to the big tree, "Daddy, God's word says, love your wife and pray for your family." I preached to them. So the first sermon I ever preached was heard by the trees. And you know what? They didn't laugh at me. They didn't talk bad to me. They didn't sass me, and they didn't make fun of me. They just listened. This morning, I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. Don't go to sleep on me now. Just go to close your eyes and picture in your mind a tree. What do you see? Do you see leaves or limbs? Or do you see trunks? Or do you see roots? Okay, now you can open your eyes. I remember sharing in an experience of worship that there are at least two different kinds of trees. There are evergreen trees, and there are deciduous trees. Evergreen trees are green the year round. They're the pines and the cedars and that needle trees. The deciduous trees are the trees that give their leaves off in the fall and sprout new leaves in the spring. Now, let's name some of those trees. They're oaks, pines, maples, maybe poplar. There are all kinds of fruit trees, apple trees and orange trees and all kinds of pear trees. There are grapefruit trees, and there are nut trees like walnuts or hickories or other kinds of pecans. I was preaching one time and I was having the congregation tell me the names of their trees, and this one lady down front said, "Crape Myrtle." Her name was Myrtle, and the congregation just burst out laughing. She wanted her name in on those trees, Crape Myrtle. You know, trees are necessary. They have roots, and they need water to live. You know what? So do you. So today's lesson and today's sermon is about becoming a tree for Jesus. Now the question is, how do you become a tree for Jesus? Well, let's look to Psalm chapter 1 and find out. When I was a boy, I memorized that chapter. How blessed is a man who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor walk in the congregation of the unrighteous, nor participate in the scoffers of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Now, I want us to name some of those roots that nurture, feed, and support your tree. The first one of those roots I think about is prayer. Prayer. Now, I didn't put it in the outline, but there's at least five kinds of prayer. You can write them in the margin of your paper. There's a prayer of praise, beginning with praise. You praise God for who he is and what he's done. And that leads us to be a prayer of thanksgiving, where we thank the Lord for all that he is and all that he does for us. And when you get caught up in your praise and your thanksgiving, it leads you to confession. You confess your sins one to another. The Bible says, so that we will be healed. Question this morning, do you need to confess your sins? The Bible says confession is good for the soul. That's the third kind of prayer. There's a fourth kind, where you petition heaven for what you need. You pray a prayer of petition. You ask for God's help, God's direction, God's blessing. And the fifth kind is the best kind, and that's the prayer of intercession, where you pray to God in behalf of somebody else. Petitionary prayer is praying for yourself. Intercessory prayer is praying for somebody else. By the way, this week has been our week of prayer for missionaries, for North American missions. Let me encourage you to give generously. There are 3,300 missionaries in North America that need our support and need our prayers. Let me encourage you to pray and give intercessory prayer. Now, that's one root, prayer. It'll help support your tree. But there are many other kinds of roots that we need. Let me share some of those. Bible study. Get in the Word of God and read it. I remember when I was trying to decide if God was wanting me to preach or not. I prayed for 2 weeks. And during those 2 weeks, I read the scriptures like I was hungry for it. At the end of 2 weeks, I wrote down 5 goals for my life. And I gave myself to doing those 5 goals. So Bible study is essential. Now, young people, I want to speak a word to you this morning. Put away your iPads and your iPhones and keep your nose and your focus and your eyes in the Word of God. Hunger and thirst after God's Word. All Scripture is given by God for instruction. And if you want to know how to live, read the Word of God. Develop a voracious appetite for the Scriptures and study it, memorize it, learn it, and remember to apply it to your life. I got one word. Boys, read Proverbs chapters 5 and 6. Girls, read chapter 31 of Proverbs. They'll bless your life. Now, Bible study and prayer, those are two reasons. The third one is worship. You need to worship the Lord and serve Him gladly. Worship. We gather for worship, and it encourages and it inspires and instructs and it helps us to live godly each day and each week. And we worship the Lord on a regular basis. We don't just worship on Sunday. We need to have home devotions and home worship as well during the week. Number four is witnessing. The joy of my life is to tell somebody else about Jesus. You know my favorite place to witness? In an elevator. Because when you get on an elevator, it's going to go up or it's going to go down. And when people are going to know Jesus, they're going to go up. And when they don't know Jesus, they're going to go down at the end of their life. You have 10 seconds in a captive audience. They can't run away. They just got to listen to you. So share the good news and tell them the gospel in an elevator or at the grocery store, at school, or at work, or wherever you go, tell people about your witness. The scripture says, you shall be my witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Number 5. Some of you are going to love this one. Giving. Learn to be a gracious giver. Don't be selfish, greedy, and hoarding. Give it away. The gospel never intended to stop with you or me. Give it away. And when you give it away, it becomes more precious to you. Giving. Our missionaries need our support. We need to give generously and prayerfully and hopefully with joy. You know what the Bible says? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know what that word is? Hilaro. We get our word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Some people say, give till it hurts. No. Give till you can have joy and it's funny. You laugh at how much you can give because God has blessed you. God loves a hilarious giver. Now, number 6, serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. So serve the Lord. You know what? We serve a mighty God. And it's a privilege to serve the Lord and to worship him and to give him glory. Now, those roots are important. They will nurture your soul. Let's go over them. Prayer, Bible study, worship, witnessing, giving, serving. They will nurture and hold you secure in your daily walk with Jesus. Now, here's some steps to becoming a tree for Jesus. The scripture says we are to be careful to whom we listen. You can't believe what everybody else is saying. Listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Listen to Jesus. He'll help you to become a tree. Be careful whom you associate with. You can't run with Tom, Dick, and Harry and be a child of God. You've got to be separate. And the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Be different because you are a child of God and you are becoming a tree for Jesus. Listen to the word of God. Associate with God's people. And watch your attitude about being negative in life. Nobody likes an old sourpuss. You know what they say? Honey attracts more bees than vinegar. Are you bitter in life? Don't be sour. Learn how to be sweet. Learn how to be kind. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be kind, be sweet, be loving. It'll nurture your tree. The Bible also says we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. You know why? If you delight yourself in the Lord, he promised that he would give you the desires of your heart. So delight yourself in the Lord. And number E is meditate on the word of God. You know what that proverb says? In his law does he meditate day and night. When you get to bed at night, think about how God has blessed you that day. When you wake up the next morning, thank God for a new day that he spared your life and he's given you another opportunity to serve him. Meditate on the word of God. You know what? I do some of my best thinking when I prop my feet up, lean back, look up, and reflect on and meditate on what God is doing in my life. We need to take time to do some reflective thinking. It'll help you to become a tree. Now, some characteristics about trees. Number one, trees stay planted Have you ever seen a tree running up and down the street saying, I'm looking for a nice place to be planted? No. You stay planted where you are planted. As the scripture says, you're planted by the rivers of water. I'm going to digress here and tell you another story from my childhood or youth. When I was in high school, Floyd Rogers, Larry Young, and Ricky Warren and I, four of us, would skip our study hall at the end of the day, pile into Floyd's truck, and go up the Pigeon River to a hole where we could go skinny dipping. We would swim across the river, and there was a big rock on the other side. It was a huge bluff of a rock, and the river came down and swirled in that pool. It was probably 30 feet deep. And one of those guys dared me to swim across the river, climb that rock, and on the top of that rock was a big oak tree with a limb sticking out over the water. Well, you know what? I can't stand somebody says, I dare you. I took that dare. Climbed that tree, climbed down on that limb, and scared as a socket. I was scared. 30 feet above the water, jumped off and went down in that water. It was cold. It was cold enough to freeze the horns off a billy goat. It's mountain stream. And when I was under the water, I swam over to the bank and I held on to my breath. I opened my eyes. You know what I saw? There were little white roots sticking out in the water, just solid white roots. I said, where in the world did that come from? When I came back out, I looked up, and the roots of that oak tree had grown down through the crevices of that rock, had gone around that rock and had grown out into the water of that Pigeon River. God taught me a lesson right there. Our roots must go down deep in the rock and we must be anchored to the rock. Jesus is our rock. Stay planted, and they also weather the storms and the fires. You know about General Sherman? He's one of the Sequoia National Park trees. General Sherman is the largest tree in the world. It would take 30 grown men stretching arm to arm to go around the base of that General Sherman. It's so wide that they built a road where you could drive a car between the through that trunk of that tree. It's in California. General Sherman. But here's the miracle part. When there's a fire, when it gets burned, it sprouts and starts a new shoot for growth. When life gives you a problem, don't let it kill your spirit. They weather the storms with the fire and the wind and the rain. They also produce fruits and nuts. You know that God feeds the birds and God feeds the animals. They also give shade. How many of you ever gotten under a nice big oak tree in the summertime when it's hot and you just sweat running down your cheeks and you feel so cool under that shady tree? They also provide homes for birds and other animals. I've got a tree in my backyard that's a home for squirrels, birds, and at one point, they were a home for a raccoon. But I got successful and ran that raccoon off. I don't want him in my yard. But the tree provides a house and a home for birds and squirrels and other animals. Your life as a tree for Jesus will be an encouragement to other people. You can nurture other folks. You can encourage other folks. You can be leaders in other people's lives, helping them to grow in their faith and mature in their walk with Jesus. But the Bible says the ungodly, the wicked, will not prosper. They do not prosper. The wicked do not sustain themselves. They are blown away. When the storms come, they wilt, they fade, and they blow away. You know what the Jews do in the Middle East? When they gather the crops, they winnow the grain. And when they winnow the wheat, it's got a husk on the outside, and they pour it into this big basket. They throw it up in the air, and the wind blows the chaff away. But the kernels of grain fall right back into the basket. And after a while, the ground over here on this side will be covered with white chaff. That's what the wicked will become. They'll be like chaff blown away by the wind. They will not stand in the judgment. They cannot withstand inspection. Let me ask you a question. Can you withstand inspection? There's coming a time when you're going to have to stand before a holy God and give an account for the deeds done in the body. Think about that. Just you and God. We serve an awesome God. The wicked, the Lord knows, will not prosper, will be blown away, and will not withstand inspection. But the Lord knows the righteous. He knows, he sees, he hears, he cares, he loves, he values, he respects those who love him and trust him and obey him. But the ungodly are going to perish. Now, here's my conclusion. What kind of tree are you becoming? Joyce Kilmer wrote us poem entitled Trees. he said, I think I shall never see a poem quite lovely as a tree. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. A tree that looks to God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. He has several other verses, and then he concludes with this. This is where I want to get to. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Listen to me carefully. Only God can help you to become a tree for Jesus. You need God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. You need God's word. Dig into it, study it, pray for it, and let the Spirit of God help you to become a tree for Jesus. Father, I pray today that your Spirit will so move in the hearts of your people that they will determine afresh and anew to let you reign supreme in their lives. Give these youth and young people a hunger for your word. Help the senior adults and everyone else in between to become that faithful, fruitful tree that you can bless and cause to prosper in your work. Lord, guide us because we need your guidance. Help us because we need your help. Teach us because we need your teaching. Love us because we need your love. And most of all, save us, Lord, because we need your salvation. We ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together for the invitation, please.